A big week in Yuma County. A new grant for agriculture research, a ribbon cutting for Arizona's first rural medical school branch, and an annual event that thanks farm workers. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. The Arizona Board of Regents visited Yuma this week. They toured agriculture fields and held a special meeting at Arizona Western College to announce a new grant for innovation in ag.
Yuma was the right place to do it. Ag is the right place to do it.
And later in the show, we're speaking to farm workers who crossed the border to work in Yuma's fields, how they're feeling about the current political climate and the concerns on their mind. These stories, plus Arizona's school chief visits a local school. Coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
I'm Cisco Stargazer for Arizona Edition. Early Thursday morning, Gowan Science Academy was in for a very special visit from Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Horn. Horn toured the school alongside his wife, Carmen, and addressed a few classrooms. One of them was Shelley Gordon's first grade class, which welcomed Horn with a Gowan Gator cheer.
Yay, yay,
up the great work, you guys. I've come to congratulate you.
While speaking to them, he explained the reason for his visit.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So I'm the state superintendent of schools, which means I'm your teacher's, I'm in charge of all the schools for the whole state. So I'm your teacher's bosses. So I came here to honor your school because you guys have much higher proficiency rates than our state average. And I'll be presenting a plaque to your principal that she'll put on the wall that says Exemplary Academic Achievement Award presented to Gowan Science Academy, recognizing progress, resilience, and the pursuit of excellence, making remarkable strides toward academic success. And since you guys are doing so well academically, I know that you're our future leaders.
Soon after, he presented Principal Alyssa Guevara, Assistant Principal Jamie Elder, and student ambassadors Taylor Tu and Sofia Delgadillo with a commemorative plaque.
If you're wondering why did I come to this school, their reading and writing proficiency is 51% compared to 40% statewide, and their math proficiency is 56% compared to 31% statewide. That is a tremendous, tremendous achievement. And it's great to celebrate success.
We asked Horn what stood out to him from his visit.
Obviously, the students are very alert. They're having a good time learning. It's a colorful place. But the real test is the test scores. And the test scores there are just really soaring above the rest of the state.
When asked what's changing in schools that makes Yuma excel, Horn replied,
That's kind of an interesting question. One of the things I've noticed with respect to immigrant students is along the border, they have the Mexican habit of being respectful, and they do well. If they come up to Phoenix, they're under the bad influence of the Anglos, and they don't do well. So it's really good being a border town in order to have well-mannered students who can learn.
But the day was far from over after his visit. Horn's trip was part of a bigger day for Yuma, and he wasn't the only state official in town. The Arizona Board of Regents, which governs the state's three public universities, spent Wednesday evening and Thursday in Yuma. Their visit included an agriculture tour and a dialogue on ag. But the highlights of the day were a ribbon cutting for Arizona's first rural regional medical school branch and the passage of an ag research grant. Typically, the Board of Regents holds meetings at Arizona State University, Northern Arizona University, and the University of Arizona. But this Thursday, it held a special board meeting at Arizona Western College. That's where they passed a grant launching the Arizona Hub for Agriculture Innovation. The three-year grant will bring together ASU, NAU, and the U of A. Centered in Yuma, the grant aims to transform ag research into industry-ready solutions for farmers and ranchers statewide. At the meeting, Regent Fred Duval explained more about the purpose of Regent's grants, also known as Technology and Research Initiative Funds.
So this is TRIF money. TRIF money was passed by the voters in 2000. It's a sales tax. It's the most public investment that our consumers make. And the idea behind the Regents grant, of which this is a fantastic example, is to reverse engineer, instead of starting with curiosity or a topic, start with the beneficiary. What problem does our public, does our state and our communities need to solve? And do we have the tools to be of service in that regard?
According to Duval, TRIF grants have gone through three phases in terms of what they aim to serve. This new one is what he considers 3.0. It looks at what economic drivers in the state of Arizona could use help with in order to further drive opportunity to drive wages, growth, and success in key industries.
Yuma was the right place to do it. Ag is the right place to do it. You knew exactly what you needed. You knew how to use us. You had trusted relationships with us. This is everything we've set out to do in Regents Grants and by way of serving the public. We are doing our job. Our customers are not just our students. Our customers are our communities. It is our taxpayers, and I could not be more enthusiastic.
The board unanimously voted to approve the grant. After the meeting, we spoke with Arizona Department of Agriculture Director Paul Brierley to learn more about the new initiative, which will receive $1 million annually for the next 3 years. He shared that the board had approached the department explaining that they had some funding to provide state agencies with university support. His department put out an opportunity statement and ultimately chose the Yuma Center of Excellence for Desert Agriculture's proposal, making it a public-private effort.
It's a substantial investment by our Board of Regents to support the universities supporting our Arizona agriculture industries.
I do wonder, what does this do that is new from everything else that's been done before?
Well, I think one thing is getting the three universities to work together, because we heard today in the Board of Regents meetings, they all bring their own specialties, whether it's dealing with the soil or whether it's dealing with logistics or whether it's the actual crop varieties themselves. There's all these different things. And it's not just ag research. It's one thing we learned is there's almost every discipline can be applied to ag. So engineering, we need engineering to do this self-driving, the automated equipment. There's all sorts of biological things. There's, you know, just you can run through the spectrum, and they need to be applied to agriculture. And so this brings all the universities together to bring their strong points, and it positions Arizona as a state to be the leader in climate resilient agriculture.
The big point, however, this is anchored in Yuma, but it'll have a far-reaching effect.
This is focused on Yuma, but it's not just about Yuma agriculture. Yuma's a place where this can happen because all three universities are here, terrific community college, great growers. There's the new broadband infrastructure, the fiber, the middle mile fiber that the county has. And then there's a wireless network being devoted just to agriculture, so that every field in Yuma will have wireless broadband capabilities. So when you have automated equipment or remote sensors or all these things, that can be done here in Yuma. So all those new technologies can be used and developed in Yuma. So just lots and lots of potential. But once solutions are found to some of these problems, they can be applied not just here in Yuma, but they can be applied statewide, they can be applied nationwide, and frankly, all over the world where we have arid land agriculture.
I'm Cisco Stargazer for Arizona Edition, and this reporting supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation. After the break, we'll hear more about a new partnership between the University of Arizona College of Medicine Phoenix and OnVita Health.
Thank you.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
We will welcome our first class next summer, so this is not a far into the future program. I think it's going to start impacting Yuma very soon.
Within 3 years, medical students studying and training in Yuma could become the first doctors ever to graduate from the region. The University of Arizona College of Medicine is partnering with Onvita Health in Yuma County to launch the first rural medical school branch in Arizona focused on training primary care physicians. The program is expected to launch next summer with a cohort of about 15 students.
That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. But we can't build a healthier tomorrow. It's contingent upon us retaining, attracting the best workforce, the highest quality workforce, highest quality clinical workforce.
Onvita President Robert Trenchel says this partnership will help address the physician shortage the state is facing. There's no denying that in rural communities like Yuma, getting a timely doctor's appointment can take weeks or even months. A U of A study from 2 years ago found that the state meets only about 39% of its needs for primary care physicians, falling short by about 500 doctors.
Primary care physicians are key in rural areas because they're really a gatekeeper and they're really the ones who can really manage a lot of the chronic diseases that you see in some of these areas and have better outcomes. But if you don't have access to a primary care physician, your health outcomes are going to be poor, and that's been proven time and time again.
Trenchel says the goal is to attract students who want to practice rural medicine and then retain them in communities like Yuma. With tuition often being a major barrier, the program aims to level the playing field. Over the first 3 years, a total of 45 students are expected to move through the program. Those who are accepted and committed to practicing rural medicine will receive free tuition fully funded by Onvita Health.
We believe this program will put that in place. It's going to be a significant source of talent for us, and we'll be able to address many of the healthcare disparities that we see in our community here. Access to care will be improved significantly. Now, these will all be things that'll take time to develop, but you have to start somewhere, and this is the start of that process.
The program is a 3-year fast-track MD pathway with students completing all of their clinical training at Onvita Health in Yuma. They'll spend the first 18 months in Phoenix for foundational coursework, then transition to Yuma for 18 months of hands-on training. After students earn their MD, they can then apply for residency programs in Yuma, and doctors are far more likely to stay and practice in the communities where they complete the residency.
We are incredibly grateful that you chose us for this mission, and it is a mission.
Dr. Fred Wundesford is the Dean of Medical Medicine at U of A. He says the free tuition will really set the program apart.
And so when you give a free tuition to a medical student, they leave medical school without debt. And it allows them to think about maybe doing something they may not have considered before, which is primary care, because primary care specialists, unfortunately, are lower paid than, say, an orthopedic surgeon or a plastic surgeon or just a surgeon in general. So this allows them to be in a primary care track and leave medical school without debt. So at the beginning, when they're starting, they think primary care is really a good pathway. A lot of our students really think primary care is a good pathway, but then they start learning about the economics of medical school and what happens after graduation, and they start to say, yeah, I'm not sure I can really sustain myself with all this debt.
On average, medical school leaves new doctors with about $200,000 in student loan debt, making it unattainable for many.
I speak to you this afternoon as a Yuma kid that went to U of A, who's now back at OnVita, and really honing and loving educating our future of medicine.
That's Christina Diaz. She's the president of OnVita Health Medical Group and helps lead the organization's graduate medical education programs. Since 2013, she says, the hospital's graduate resident program has graduated 65 doctors in family medicine, with about 34% of them choosing to remain in the community.
We treat them well, they're happy here. Even though we're adding residents every year, even more continue to stay. So, and what we see across the nation is that students, residents specifically, are more inclined at a greater than 75% likelihood of staying in the region to which they train. So if we can get them to go to medical school, stay and do residency in our area, even if they don't land in Yuma, the likelihood is very high in the 80s to 90% that they will end up being in a rural setting.
Absolutely.
And also that they will stay in our region. So we won't get our students leaving our state. And that's really what Arizona's problem has been in replacing the physician shortage, is that we haven't had the pipeline that has connected a great number of medical students to a high number of residency programs. And this one, this specific track, will just ensure that that pipeline is stronger for primary care in rural Arizona.
Diaz believes this program will only expand on that and help produce homegrown physicians just like her. She says the residents currently run an MD mentor program at local high schools, which gets kids thinking about careers in medicine. And the mentorship is already proving to be successful.
We already now have 3 students from the area that are at school at the University of Arizona at Phoenix, and we look forward for that number to just increase. I think this will just complete the pipeline, and it will make it, I think, where more kids will see that they can do it, because people from where they came from are coming back and saying, I did this.
Recruitment for Yuma's rural medical branch has begun, with the first cohort expected to get started in July. For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
Bueno, señoras y señores, en la edición número 31 del Día del Campesino.
Every year in December, social workers from throughout Yuma County gather in the cold darkness of the early morning in San Luis for the Día del Campesino Health Fair for farm workers. The event is a one-stop shop put on by Campesinos Sin Fronteras and several other local and state agencies. Farm workers can get a warm meal, blankets, health screenings, and some leave with a new bicycle. This year in ag is different. There have been reports of some farm workers in agricultural communities afraid to go to work because of increased immigration enforcement. Yuma County ag leaders say the majority of workers here are legal workers with H-2A visas. Some farm workers KAWC spoke with early Friday morning said they are not directly afraid of immigration raids in Yuma County fields, but some said they are mindful and they have noticed fewer workers. Ana Lilia Benyunyure is 50 years old. She said she's been working in ag for more than half her life.
Sí, hace falta mucha gente, no vienen completas, pues. Y estamos trabajando hasta los domingos, por lo mismo que se está trazando el campo. En los desayques y las limpias, se está trabajando hasta los domingos. Pues trabajar hasta 10 horas, 7 días a la semana, pues está pesado.
Ana Lilia said, we are without some people in the fields. We work on Sundays because there are fewer workers. So sometimes we can be working 7 days a week. Emma Torres is the director of Campesinos Sin Fronteras. She has long said farm workers in Yuma County are mostly in the H-2A visa program that allows them to work in ag. Torres has said she is concerned with ICE raids in other ag communities, including Ventura County and Salinas in California. But she's not hearing any concerns locally.
Well, just a lot of excitement. People are very grateful, thankful for, you know, the services that are provided here. When at the very entrance of the gate, when we opened today at 1:30, people would just come in and say thank you. And I think that's they know why we're doing this event, and that's that's what we try to do, you know, just have them feel appreciated, you know, that we do this because every year, this is our 31st year, that we do this because we really care about their health, and we want to make sure that we contribute a little bit, you know, as to their well-being.
How many farm workers are you expecting to go through today?
Well, it's usually we expect anything between 3,500 to 5,000. That's usually what we. And now you can see the crowd, you know, since 1:30 it stays like this for a few hours. So we know that that's usually the number we get.
And how many volunteers does it take to put this on, like the people at all the booths, if you had to guess?
Well, this year we had like close to 200 volunteers, but every agency that that are providing the services, usually they bring their own staff as volunteers. As you know, we start, they're here since midnight, setting up and getting ready. And this year, there were 30 organizations in the planning committee. It takes a lot, more than 6 or 7 months to plan. But it's very exciting because this has become truly a community mobilization because, you know, we have all the sectors of the community here from the schools, faith base, health, you know, services, human services. It's just very exciting to see so many young people also here from the schools, from the universities, from the colleges that are offering to come and serve this early and this cold.
Ramon Mateo was the first farm worker in line before the Dia del Campesino event opened.
Pues un poco por tanto que se habla por parte del presidente, pues de todas las cosas que le tira a uno como hispano, pero pues, en fin, a ver qué pasa. Pues es lo bien que tiene, que dan muchos servicios, aparte de las cositas que le regalan a uno. Le dan buenos servicios a uno.
He said, yes, you hear things, especially with this president. But we'll see what happens. Here at this event, they offer great services for us. In addition to the goodies they have, they treat us well. Stay tuned to KAWC to hear more voices from the Dia del Campesino event. For KAWC News in San Luis, I'm Victor Calderon. KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app, and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.